Welcome to our second guest appearance on Strength and Shadows. My name is Bree, and this is Josie, 2A Texan, and this is Trekking in Style. Trekking, what's going on?
How's it going, ladies?
How's it going today?
On the podcast.
Yeah, we're super excited to have you here.
That's so weird. It looks so good, and then
okay, there it is. There it is.
Okay,
that's
all. Okay,
don't move.
Yeah,
it's okay. Off.
All right, perfect. All right, so Trekking, thank you for being here. So there's some like things about you that people don't know. How old actually are you?
Already on the spot.
The door.
Fuck. 50. 50 years old.
Isn't that crazy? And you have a nickname. What is the nickname?
If I have a nickname?
No, you have a nickname. What is your nickname?
It's the time.
No, it's the time traveler. It was your original nickname.
Want to hear something funny? When I first got on TikTok, that was my name.
Yeah, I know. I remember.
That's crazy.
And why did they call you the time traveler?
Because of my age.
Because look at him. It's like that movie. What was that movie with, what's her name?
Benjamin Button.
Was it?
Like aging backwards.
Yeah,
because they didn't look my age.
Yeah, that's so crazy to me that you're 50. Like, when he told me that, I was like, shut the fuck up.
No,
he's like, no, I'm serious. I'm like,
I used to dye my beard and shit, and then I just was looking stupid, so I let it go.
Yeah. Crazy. So, where are you from, Chuckin?
Well, Wisconsin, but I've been all over.
Yeah.
Born in Wisconsin, raised in California and Arizona.
Yeah, oh, the warm state. So, you went from cold to hot.
Back up to Minnesota, and then back over here.
So, he's actually by me. We're like sister states, and so he lives in the frozen food section of the country as well.
Okay. So, does he get Amazon Prime the same day, or no? Does he have to wait as well?
So, when you order off of Amazon, do you get it that same day, or do you have to wait? Yeah, I think he lives close to, like, a distribution. I know that they're building us one, but right now, like, it's just not. I gotta wait 17 business days to get this new camera package. What'd you say?
Chris?
Yeah.
Same day?
Not me.
I do, but not her. She freaked out when she saw that I could get it same day.
She ordered something one morning, and then an hour, like 2-3 hours later, she was like, oh my God, look what came in. I'm going to show you. And I'm like, hold the fuck up.
I think they got an Amazon by Minneapolis, and they definitely got done one by Milwaukee.
That should be a fucking hate crime against us over here. And he's in North Dakota every single day, almost. He goes to Fargo.
Well, every other day,
crazy. Yeah. Well, it's still 9 hours away, but still. So, Trekking, I'm kind of just going to just dive right into some stuff. So, and if at any point in time you don't want to talk about it, we can just skip right over it. So,
Right into the dirty.
So, you spent some time in prison.
Yes. Yep. So, a little over 10 years in section.
And what age did you first go to jail or prison? Like, when did the crime in life start? How old? Well,
okay.
Yeah. So, I was born up here in Wisconsin. My dad was in the military. He went up here. He was stationed up here, and he met my mom, right? So they had kids or whatever. So he was actually went to school to be a pastor. My dad was a pastor, and he was a pastor at this church.
Your son has sinned.
Yeah. He was a pastor at this church, and then him and my mom were getting along, and they got a divorce. Well, my mom said none of the kids can go with my dad except the oldest, which was me. I got a brother 2 years younger than me and a sister 2 years younger than him. And so I went, and he's from Long Beach, California. So I went down to California with him, and I was down there for a little while. And when I was down there with him, I could do whatever I wanted. That's when shit started.
No guidance, no strict rules for him. Was he still a pastor when he was
When he left, he got away from everything. The thing was, when he left, he got away from everything, and so his mom died. So he started going to shit when I was down that way.
That'll do it.
So he got into heroin really bad, and so him and his wife, they did heroin almost every day. So when I said I went to school, I didn't go to school. I went wandering around. They never knew what was going on. So I hustled.
So at 12 years old. So now when you say you didn't go to school, what is your before prison? Because I'm assuming in prison you got some education. What is without prison? What would have been the grade that you achieved? What was the highest grade of education?
College.
So on your own outside of prison?
Look at you. What college?
For business administration, which I didn't use. But yeah. But I got certificates. I didn't even think to grab any. I got certificates on everything you could think of in prison, from welding to painting.
Did you graduate high school?
In jail.
In jail. Okay. So, yeah. So you didn't do any of this outside of jail, but you did do it in jail.
No, the college and everything was outside.
Okay. But that the high school was in jail.
So are you book smart?
But I don't.
So you're, what'd you say?
So I got the education in college. I got all the certificates for all the vocational shit and everything. And I drive truck.
But you've worked for some really good places outside after you've left prison.
So before I started driving truck, I was a manager at a frack mining company for quite a while.
I've done frack. Yeah, that's what we were talking about. I did frack for quite a few years.
I know my shit. I've had talks with Bree about it, so she knows I know my shit with it.
Yeah. What was back to like your prison thing? So the first time you in law enforcement had a run, you were 12 years old, you said?
Well, here's the thing. I dropped out of school in fifth grade. So, and my dad was on heroin every day, and I went to school every day. So here's my routine. I'll tell you real fast.
Yes, we vape on our podcast. We're normal people.
My routine was this. I'd get up for school. I'd pretend like I'm going to school. I'd walk over to the grocery store. I'd sit there at about noon, and I'd watch all these people come up with carts of groceries, and I'd follow them to their car. Once they got to their car and they opened their trunk, I'd grab their groceries and I'd start putting it in their trunk for them. When I got done, they'd give me a tip. By the end of the day, I had about $50, $60. I would go over to play video games at the arcade, which was an indoor arcade. And I'd go eat a pita every day and then I'd go home. That was my routine.
This was back in your time. So you're 50. This was back in...
when I was in fifth grade.
Okay.
So 1923?
Did you say 1923?
God damn.
Okay, we're in the 80s. We're talking 70s, 80s, right? We're 80s, 90s. That's 80s, okay? That's a lot of money for $50. Like, I got food stamps. We got a quarter in shit when I was a kid. And that was, we were top dog if we even had a dollar. So that's a lot of money for...
When we got moved over to Arizona, I did that a little bit, but then I got involved with people where I was chipping cars and I was bringing them in and giving them to those guys for money. I don't know, when you steal a car, there's a piece on the side and you pull it off and you chip it. And there used to be these cars called IROCs. I don't know if you guys remember what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what they are?
I don't.
I do.
Car lot and steal them and then go give them to the guy and he'd give us about $400. And that's when I got caught. I got caught up in trouble then.
Yeah. That's crazy to me. I'm fucking mind blown. At 12, that amount of money at that age. So having that amount of money and having that type of lifestyle, did that lead at an early age of drug use?
So I never was really into drugs too much till I got a little older. But when I was young, here and there, I'd smoke pot. I liked the money. I liked getting the money. But at this time, my dad had moved into an apartment complex and I had gotten kicked out of it because I liked to just roam around and there's curfew and shit there and all this stuff. So I got kicked out of the apartment complex where my dad lived. And that night I would just walk around the streets and hang out with friends. And I would give him money from the cars, pay rent and shit, because they were doing heroin. They were all messed up.
Crazy. So where were you during all the
time? My mom was up north. And this is where my mom got involved. One point in time, my dad had gotten kicked out and he was staying in a truck. And I would stay with him here and there in this mall area. So they used to have these matinees that were like a dollar to go watch at night. So we'd spend our time at night watching movies and shit at the mall because they're open all night. And my mom got involved when one time there was an incident when I walked out with a buddy, good friend of mine. We were leaving and he's talking shit to somebody. He got shot in the face. My mom found out and told my dad what the fuck's going on down there because I was running the streets. And then my dad went to jail. My mom came and got me and ended up this way.
And then
that's how I ended up back there. Once I got up here, I got into fucking shit, so.
How old were you when you moved back with your mom?
14, 15.
So.
First thing I did, went to the car dealer, shipped me a car. There was about six of us, and we drove like six brand new cars around fucking all night.
One thing about Josie is you can tell when she gets super sad and feels like the mama bear comes out in her. Because the last person we recorded, Josie's face was just like, you know, and it's always when we're talking about like childhood trauma and like things
I'm sorry.
Children should go through, you know, and so sorry. Like there's nothing more that I hate is when somebody's like, oh, I'm sorry I didn't grow up like you. No, I love it. Like, you know, people with stable parents and stable, you know, and all of us were so grown and we talk every day, so this is for the viewers to find out. It's like one of these things where like I love more than anything when people cannot relate to me. You know, don't like my daughter, she cannot relate to having the power, you know, going up, waking up one day and you can't shower because the water's off, waking up one day and not being able to plug in her straightener because the power is off, or coming home and being like, there's no food. Like, she thinks there's no food when there's not 18 Red Bulls and soda, you know, what, you know, and shit like that at our dispense. I just re-upped as her. She said, you need to re-up. So I just did that. And so, like, to not worry about her phone bill, not worried about moving house to house.
Yeah. Well, you did that one video where it was like the trauma video. Do you remember doing that with her?
Yeah. And it's like one of these things where, like, you know, me and Truckin have had such a similar life.
I talked to Bree, and Bree's life was a lot similar as mine.
I'm 34 and he's 50. So it's like two different generations living the exact same, you know, same jail. So, you know, started at 12 years old. I was a full-blown heroin addict at 13. You know, and I was a product of my mother. My mother was the first person that ever gave me drugs. You know, like, I shot up somebody's house at 14. I can't even relate to that person right now. Like, I wouldn't even go in the ghetto, girl. But I used to, like, run around and
what's, like, real about this is normal. We think it's you live normal. We think it's just normal. But it's like, holy fuck.
For Josie, she's like, I'm just, what? I'm
like, what? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, do you need a hug? What do you need? Do you need a blanket? Like,
no.
I can,
like,
make you some hot tea.
Yeah.
It's normal. It's just, she feels the same way. It's just a normal way of life. Just like in prison.
Love when people are like, I don't know what you're talking about. I can't relate to that. I love it. You know what? Give your parents a high five, because there's a lot of us in different generations that have lived a fucking horrible life like that, of drug abuse, of child abuse, of fuck, dude. When have you, there's times that I'm sure that you woke up and you didn't know how you were going to eat that day, you know, because there was no...
I made sure before I was straight, even with prison and everything, before I had kids, that I'd have my shit together. And that's what I did. I never would want my kids to go through the shit I went through.
So at what age did you get your first prison sentence struck?
18, right out of high school.
And what was it for?
So with that one, that was the first short one. So the first one coming through, that was burglary. There's forgery shit in there. There's lottery fraud shit. There's robberies. The lottery fraud is taking fucking shit right off the counter and just leaving with it all your scratch offs and everything.
Okay.
Okay.
I can never win the lottery because of that.
It is so, that a crime?
I don't know. No, it's a state, but in Minnesota, I can never win a lottery. So that was the first one I went in for. It was 93. I was 18, and it was fucking horrible. I'm going to tell you what. And they pulled, now in jail, I was in jail, like, throughout, for a while there, fighting all the time in jail, doing all kinds of shit. I thought, all right, you're good. When I pulled up to this fucking castle, and I'm not lying, I wish I had a picture of it. It's look up St. Cloud, Minnesota.
We're going to input a picture for you guys so you guys can see it.
Look that shit up. And it's the second largest handmade wall besides the wall of China. And it's all inside. It's the old brick. It's the gates that open up.
Wow. Yeah.
But I was scared shitless. Scared shitless. But they told me, go in there because I was young. And don't take shit. And I didn't. I sat in the hole, like, for the first 6 months because I just smacked people. The minute they said anything, I was gone. So, now, but then I stayed clear. I stayed clear when I went in for 6 months because they told me, listen, if you could fucking stay out of the hole for 6 months, we'll send you to a boot camp so you don't have to sit your 32 months. You just go there for 6 months and you get out. I said, what? Really? He's like, yeah, you can do that. I said, okay. So I went to this boot camp and it was Willow River. I remember it. I was a cadence caller when we ran. I was a guy. And then at the very end, I was one of the guys, me and Jim, were the guys that did the speak and talked to everybody. But there was a physical record. I broke the running record, and I broke the obstacle course record that they've ever had, to the point where a staff sergeant from the real military, he came in and tried to get me into the real military.
I was going to ask if you were ever, like, approached to be in the military.
So he came in there, and they did a little thing. They had to do a psych eval, and I remember my buddy Jim going, you're not getting past that, dude. But
psyche guy.
All right, whatever.
I passed it.
He came in and he asked me, he goes, and I'm actually glad I never went into the military. I couldn't go. I had one more felony than I was able to go in. But I remember him asking me in that room, he's like, if you were able to come in, what would you want to do? And I remember still to this day, and his facial expression didn't change one bit when I said that. And I said, kill people. And he
and
just
they were
looked at
like,
me.
let's think about this. Like, it's a good idea.
I knew, in my head, I'm thinking, okay, they got something going on for me that I can go get into, which I don't think I'd live if I ever went in. So it worked out.
What were some of the things that you said you were scared shitless? Well, for one, you're an 18-year-old kid, you know, and you're in there with fucking serial killers, murderers, all this, pedophiles, everything. What was something that, if somebody was to go to prison right now and they're 18, what is something that they're going to have to see, face, no matter what, right when you get to prison?
So all the races will, they'll cut you down right away. They want to see what you're about because you're not involved with anybody yet when you go in.
Okay.
They'll cut you down right away and see how you act. They'll be like, look at this pretty motherfucker. You know what I mean? And shit like that. And I'll be like, fuck you, bitch, and your mom. I don't care how big I was. But I knew I had to say it. And I didn't care if I said it to a murderer or whatever. It's going to happen anyway. And
like the COs, like, you know, you hear about the COs being like corrupt or dirty. Is that true? Like, do they, if you do like pay them, I don't know how you would pay them, but if you do, like, do they give you special treatment?
So later on, I got involved in, I'll tell you about it, a group. We had them bringing in cigarettes. I had one put a magazine in my mailbox every week.
Are these women or men or just a mixture of both?
Both. One out of five women that go in there that are guards get caught fucking.
I'm sorry, but I'm trying to do better in life, but then fresh out of prison men just fucking hit their friend. Oh my God,
stop.
Like, then, they're well taken care of. Like, I've never. You know what I'm saying? I have never been in a relationship with somebody out of prison or like inmate hopper or, you know, life after long.
Calm down.
Never. But I mean, they're attractive, girl. Come on. They are good looking.
Bad boys.
Yes. So totally.
So while we're in there, we had ladies sending money. We talked to ladies.
Yeah.
We had women that were CEOs that could talk to us, that would hook us up with their friends.
So how she had said Ash Trevino, first of all, this podcast does not ever represent anything that she is, nor will we ever. But
we should probably just give her name, what I like to call her.
What are we calling her?
Musinex Man.
Okay. So Musinex Man came on to TikTok and she was known as the inmate hopper. And she would essentially marry men in prison. And this is a whole revolution of women. That, you know, they give their hard-earned money. They go and see these men. They go and marry these men. They go pen pal them. And it's like, they hop between all of these. Is this something that is so common where women send you guys money and they write you letters and it's just, you guys pass them around? Like, just how is that?
First of all, I want to say on this in case any one of my friends or anybody listens to this. I'm not glorifying anything.
Yeah.
No, sure.
I say it, what I've done or anything. I'm not glorifying it. Later instances, I'll tell you.
Yes, we need to know the real truth of it, and that's what this podcast is, to show the real truth. It doesn't even mean we condone it or anything. So
a lot of these guys on TikTok, you see making these videos where they've been in prison and done this and done that and shit. It's lies. A lot of it is. A lot of it's fucking bullshit. And I used to jump in their shit and say, you're fucking lying, because you just don't talk about certain shit. And these guys are like, did this? I did. No, you die. You'd die.
You messaged me about we're not going to say his name, but a certain one. You were like, there's no way. There's no way that he is a part of this or a part of that, because he'd be dead if he got on live and truly was a member of something like that and decided he was going to do that. So I know that.
I won't say who I rode with, because I rode with some people that were very bad. And I won't say their name. See, a lot of people are like, oh, don't ride with me. And I never told anyone. Never told anyone. Like, mm-hmm. Who? And I'll never, unless you see me, you'll never know. But I'll show you this, and this is all you'll see. See the MC?
Oh, you covered it up.
That's it. You'll never see anything else. So, but anyway, let's get back to. Once you get involved in these groups, it's a little easier to do shit. We run stores, we do all kinds of shit. But it's easy. You see a guy coming into the prison, and it's a white guy, and he's a fucking dork, and you know what's up. You got to get that guy before the blacks get him or the Mexicans get him. So what you do? As you walk by his cell, say, hey, bro, what's up, man? What you here for? Because you always want to find out what they're in for. You never want to talk to somebody who is into some fucked up shit. Where's your paperwork, bro? And everybody's always got their paperwork on.
Okay.
So you look, see their cases and shit, and be like, oh, okay, what's up? I'll give you some top roll in a minute. Top is cigarettes, rolled cigarettes. I'll throw you up some shit. So you get involved when we do this shit. And basically, you find out where this guy's from, what town. For instance, let's say St. Cloud. The guy's from St. Cloud. And I find that out. That's all I need. That's it. Because I'll sit down and talk with him. He'll eat with us. I'll be talking. Everybody knows a Jamie, right? Everyone knows a Jamie or something. So I'll start making some names up. And I'll be like, yeah, I'll come around the area here and there. And I'll be like, do you know, how old are you? Do you know a Jamie girl that comes around here?
I know what you're about to get to, and I'm so disappointed.
He'll be like, yeah, I got a friend. What does she look like? He'll be like, brown hair, tan. I'll be like, fuck yeah, I know who that is. You guys ever go to the club down here? Yeah. Dude, you have to fucking give me her address. I know who it is. Let me write it. That's it. Once I get her address, or I get a phone number, I'll call her. And this will be this dude's friend. He has no clue that I don't know this girl. But once I get her on the phone, I'll be like, hey, what's up? Your boy's in here. And listen, I'm going to tell you what. He seems cool. He seems good with you and all this shit. I ain't going to say shit. But motherfuckers in here want to fuck them all. So listen, I'll make this shit stop. We can make this shit stop. You just got to send me some money. And we'll make shit not happen to them. That's it.
That is crazy.
And then sometimes the ladies will be like, what's up with you? And then you just end up writing them and they send you money for the hell of it. They want, then they come visit and then they want to.
Again, man. So I heard something. This is another way to get women, but I don't know if it's true. So like when visitation happens, right? And people are going in and out to visit their spouses or whatever, you guys get the names of these women. And if they're like bomb looking or bad or look like they got money and this dude always, you guys slide in and try to steal their old lady sometimes.
So there is that stuff does happen. So it's crazy. So you can go up there like once a week and get visits, right? If you see a dude in there and you know he's a fucking idiot and you hear him talking to his visitor or whatever, and you get the name and all this shit, that's another way to approach him. You're like,
yeah, that's true.
We have a friend. I'm from, where are you from? I'm from that area. What, do you have a friend? This could be a month later. Does she look like this? Yeah. How do you know her? Fuck, dude. I know who that is. I talked to her before. And then you got her number. And if this one's coming up here to see this guy, she's going to come up here and see me.
That's creepy. It's her less than in the prison system. So, oh, go ahead. Go.
Okay. So, like, sexual predators. Is it true that, like, the COs, like, if you find out, like, they've done crimes against kids or whatever, are they protected? Or is it like COs will let you, you know, like I've heard throw like rotten milk on them or other things, kind of like people do to them what they've done, rightfully so.
So back when I was in, they did separate them. They were all over the place. They'd be watched. Okay, they did separate them, but they put them in a kind of a different building. They didn't keep them completely separated. They, like pedophiles and snitches and stuff like that would go over here. But you could see him and everything, right? So I think I told Bree this story not too long ago about the guy. So now they got cameras everywhere, but you could still get to these guys. They got them in a spot where they're only around themselves and the people that are fucking predators. But they go to chow. They have to eat. Where does people fucking work? Chow. Where do guys like me work? Chow. So there was one guy in particular. Years ago, he went in there. He killed an 8-year-old girl. He cut her head off and shit in her throat and threw her in a dumpster, right? So he was in the main population because you got to go in there and you got to be in there for like 3 days. And what happened was he was coming out one time and this guy's I roll with grabbed him and threw him in the cell and they hung his legs out the door and the metal doors all open up on a bar. It opens up just like you see in the movies. Opens up and there, it's not the solid doors. It's the prison. It's the straight up old. So they grabbed him and they put him on his side and they held his legs and they slammed the bar into his knees until they pulled his legs up, his knees. So
as he fucking deserves.
Yeah. You never want to. So what really happened was the guy got a hold of somebody and the family member got a hold of somebody in prison and said, this guy did this. I'll give you guys money. And they're like, I want it dead. And we always got to say, you don't want to kill the guy. You want him to live. You want him to suffer for the rest of their life in prison. You never want to kill somebody because that's what they want. They want to die. But he got put into a place. Years later, he's staying. His eyes are all black. And this guy used to come to the chow hall. And in prison, they have double pans. One's with water in it, so it steams the top. And they just keep replacing them. And he used to come through. And I remember I used to pull that pan out of there. and walk like I was going back. Well, they were all coming through and turn and set it on his neck. And I used to burn him all the time. And the guard would just turn his head.
How common? I mean, we see it on the news. We see it everywhere. How common is it for a child abuser, a sexual, a predator, a fucking pedophile? How many come in daily? Like a lot? Are we talking weekly, daily?
I'm talking like hundreds in a week throughout the state. There, you wouldn't believe how many there is.
And that's just in that prison. I mean, there's hundreds of prisons in the United States.
Yeah, I mean, throughout the state, hundreds and hundreds of them. That they're all over.
That shit, I mean, rightfully so, as they deserve. I mean, and I agree with you. Like, we shouldn't kill them. We should let them suffer, because I've watched so many trials on, you know, child rapists and stuff like that, men that unalive women. And those judges will be like, you know what? Nothing I'm about to do to you is far compared to what is going to happen to you when you get into prison. And then like street justice in just like the court of public opinion, street justice is right up there with it. I mean, you're going to fucking suffer beyond anything.
Yeah. And the one thing about prison, the one thing about in there is you'll never hear it on the news when inmates die. You know, how many times do you hear the news and an inmate died?
Am I tripping? Did any of y'all see, when did it come out? Like at the end of last year or something, they found a bunch of bodies buried behind the prison.
Ever talk about prison people dying?
Did you hear that, Perfect?
I've never heard that.
There was a prison. We're going to clip a link to it so you guys can see what I'm talking about. There is a prison that came out on the news, and it was because family members could not find their family, and they were burying them behind the prison.
I do remember that.
But they have, prisons got their own grave sites, okay? Uh-huh. Somebody is about to die, they try to reach out to people, but if they can't get a hold of them or whatever, nobody gets, they take that body and they bury them in the back, like in the cemetery.
That's so fucking insane, because apparently a bunch of people never got a call, and like, they were saying that they were like murdered in prison, and it was like an undercover, like a cover up. Like they were murdered. They were pedophiles. They were
so many. See, when I was in there, they started putting cameras. They started putting cameras in when I was in after like 2 years. They started putting cameras in. I remember when they went to go put cameras in, there was a riot. That's when I first got stabbed in this riot. I got stabbed, and we grouped up into a corner, and everybody was running all over, and I got stabbed in my arm, and then my buddy stabbed the guy that stabbed me. When the cameras went in,
I got you, Josie. Anytime that ever, I got your back. Like
do anything. Yeah, you could. So my friend, when I first went in before the camera, I'm gonna tell you what, people die all the time in there, accidents, whatever. When I first went in there, and I was having lunch with a buddy of mine named Opie. There was a Mexican guy in the line, and he's like, "Hey," he stepped on my foot. He's like, "Fuck you, bitch." He went back. I just started hanging out with this guy. About 2 weeks, he went back, he went up to the third floor, they got him, they stabbed the shit out of him and threw him over instantly. Nobody heard about it, nobody's talked about it. If they got a number, you know, nobody talks about all that shit.
Now we just did, so surprise.
Surprise, here we are.
But think about it, though. Think about it. How many times are you watching the news, you ever just sit there and, died in prison?
Yep.
I don't think I've ever heard.
I mean, obviously when they're on death row, but not like,
yeah, that's a good thing. I wonder if we can look up how many people have died in prisons on a daily or weekly. And then
It's not going to be accurate. I mean, like you said,
they watch a lot more because of cameras. Now they really watch people. Now it's a lot harder to do anything, but
I don't recall seeing like death in prison.
So obviously I guess the question I have though, now thinking about this. So it's easier to get somebody hurt in prison than it is in county, correct?
County's wild.
County sucks. It's warm. Because everybody's so close. Every time I went back to prison, I said, get me the fuck out of jail. I'm going to hurt someone. Get me out of here. I don't want to sit in the fucking jail. Because you don't do nothing. You don't go. There's no chow hall to go to. There's no, like, you go to a gym, a little tiny square to work out, maybe an hour a day. In prison, you go like 3 hours. You go hang out with your buddies. You go to work in prison. There's nothing in jail. So
I've never heard of, I've been in county myself, and I've never been inside of an adult prison. Now, a juvenile one I have, but not an adult prison. And I can tell you that, like, I mean, it's everybody. It's anybody that gets arrested that's awaiting their first court hearings, their bail hearings, their 6-month trial. I mean, you just group these fuckers together.
No, I told you, when I did the ride-along with, you know, whatever, and I had, like, there was an arrest made, and I had to go stand there, and I was scared. Listen, I'm not going to lie. I mean, and I had a certain little uniform I had to wear, and they were scoping me out. And I know damn well somebody was like, that is going to be my bitch. And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm here for, like, for ride-alongs. I am not here to be somebody's bitch.
You're like, I am not a thug. Okay, I'm not a cop. I'm not a cop.
I hid behind the sergeant. And I was like, and he was like, you're okay. Like, we're not going to leave you alone with them.
Wow.
Right
so,
now.
So, like, in jail, too, it's a little worse in jail as far as, like, nut jobs. I'll tell you why. Because guys that are coming in jail are coming off of drugs. They're in there for fucking coming down. They're going crazy. They're fighting. In prison, you're all past all that shit. In prison, it's more of a respect thing. You get disrespected, you fucking stab someone. In jail, it's just everybody's fucking
wild.
Wild, yeah.
Oh, go ahead. God, I was just saying that's so crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. Prison is fucking... Prison
So, funny story, you said that about jail. In Minnesota, I went there. After I got out of the boot camp, I instantly went back again because the parole was fucked. So I went right back in. I was just fighting in there and everything. Before I went in there, there was a young lady, and it's easy to get stuff in jail. And there was a young lady in there that I met at a bar one night. She's like, oh, I just moved into town. I was like, oh, yeah. We were over here else. I went to jail. That female officer walked in and looked at me, and her eyes got about that big. She's like, oh, my God. Yeah, so you could get stuff in jail just like you can. And what I did when I was in jail, I was the barber. So I could talk to everybody and pass everything. So
interesting.
Oh, I did not. I was just found that out. So now, tell us the list of times that you've been in prison and what for.
Sorry, it might be an extensive, I guess the majority of them, the big ones, the prison terms, stuff like that.
All the burglaries stuff, the first one, got out. Drugs and stuff on the second one, dealt with guns on that one, went back into that one, got out for that one, not too long, and then went right back in aggravated robbery. That was a big one.
That one is a huge charge. So a lot of people don't know, but when I joined TikTok in 19, I was out on bail for breaking and entering an assault. I had kicked open somebody's front door, and it was my ex and my sister-in-law, and they had. I mean, I guess I went in, you know, for legal purposes, I went into the home when I went insane. I was putting my hands on everybody. I mean, I was assaulting everybody without a doubt. I was. And I got arrested, and for going into somebody's home without their consent, whether you kick the fucking front door down, you go through a window, you do anything, that's breaking and entering. That is, I was offered 10 years in prison, and I was like, 10 years? What? I'm not even a thug anymore, you know? But, you know, my consequences. I didn't learn from that, by the way. I had another incident that happened after that, but I have learned from now. So those crimes are super serious. And if it wasn't for my ex writing a letter on my behalf, even though I had knocked his fucking teeth out of his mouth and broke into his home and was in a fucking drunken rage because I was not sober at the time when I joined TikTok, I'd probably not be here. And they took it, you know, they took what he said into consideration. And, you know, what was the initial offer on that crime? Because I know on your last one, your most, like,
the robbery, I got four because it involved two cops and taking their shit. Yeah.
So my older brother was a Aryan Brotherhood before he's dead now. He was murdered in prison. He was out on parole for his 20th time. And he had an ankle monitor on, and he kidnapped a police officer, took him to a hotel, and beat the living shit out of him while having an ankle monitor on. Because, you know, drugs do just crazy. It was assault against a police officer. It was kidnapping of a police officer. Yeah. It was armed robbery. They robbed my brother, robbed him at gunpoint. And my brother was in Folsom Prison, where he was shot in the head by a security guard because my brother, I think what is the word when prison is what you know? That's your home. What is that? Institutionalized?
So it's funny you say that. The last bit, they told me I got to get out.
Yeah.
Getting out, sitting all the way down to the end. No probation.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So he was offered 30 years in prison, and he had no fighting chance. You know what I'm saying? So what was your, you know, because they make plea deals, but the initial, before a plea deal, what were you looking at for that crime against police officers? And I
heard 20 months. I took 86.
100 is... 15 years?
I think something like that, yeah. I took 86, ended up doing the parole inside.
I mean, I could be way off, so don't start calculating. You know?
I remember him saying that, and I just plead down.
What is 100 and something months, Josie?
15. and a half years.
Ooh, okay. So I was close.
You were close.
On 86.
86. You did 86 months in prison.
I mean, I did more than that, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I meant on that stint. Sorry.
Because my parole sat in the hole. When you go in the hole, you lose time at every time you go in. They add it on until you have no time and you just walk out. And that's what they...
Did you just, like, the for that, did you know the cops or did you just, like, random?
Nope. What do you, nope. So how did you find, you just found some cops or?
For arresting, actually. What happened was a buddy of mine was getting the shit kicked out of him, wrapped around a pole. And then when they came towards me, I was scared.
Not me.
Bing, they were knocked out. And I just took their guns and badges and left. And I got trouble.
Obviously. So.
They marked it down, I think, like, taking 86 months away and marked it down to, the thing was, you'd get killed if, on time, if it's an assault on police officer. It's horrible. So I got that down to an aggravated robbery because I took their shit, you know, and dealt with a first-degree burglary because of the guns.
That's such a crazy charge.
Yeah, it was bad. But I think I told Bree this story before. Those cops were at the door when I walked out. Those cops were at the door.
Tell Josie that, because I was just going to say, tell us what happened after you left prison. So I'm just going to say that. I want to know, which I do know a lot. Tell Josie and everybody when the day you got out of prison and how your life just changed, because I think Josie would be fascinated with the story.
Okay, so when I left, first of all, they told me I had to leave, and I told them I didn't want to get out. I didn't want to get out of prison. So they grabbed me right away because they knew me, and they put me in the hole. Because they knew I was going to do something bad to somebody, and then I was going to stay longer. And the next day, they walked me out with six fucking cops and fucking threw me out the door. So there you go. When I walked out that door, those guys were there. Those two. The ones you... They said, hey, you're going to come back to the area. We know you don't want no problems, okay? We know you have a lot of anger built up. We got something for you if you're interested. I said, what do you mean? I said, I ain't doing shit. They're like, hey, if you want to come down to the police department right away, I was like, no, 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 no. And they're like, at the police department, they have a training area down there for boxing and fighting. These two guys trained me at the police department and then walked me down to 7 tough man competitions in Minneapolis.
Yep.
And I'm friends with those guys still.
You ever rob me, bitch? We ain't going to be friends.
So dumb with you. That is awful. Yeah. I had that on my little whiteboard here with you. I mean, like, were there any positive things you took from prison? I know that's wild and crazy, you know.
So when I wasn't, matter of fact, hold on 1 second.
I'm gonna edit this out. Yeah, when he told me that story, I was like.
I was going to go find I got it in there somewhere. It's a big folder. And when I was in prison, I'm a certified welder. I got all these certificates for construction, doing floors, carpentry, all this stuff that I did while I was in there. So that. If I needed to use it when I got out, I could. But I did everything inside. I got it here somewhere.
Is there the education department in the prison system, even from a juvenile to an adult, it like top tier? I know so many people that even myself, I graduated high school. My high school diploma is from the juvenile facility. Are they free or are they accessible to everybody? Are they a requirement?
So the vocational schooling is free. For instance, you can do these classes. You can get paid for it. It's only like, I think when you do them, it's like you can get up to $1 an hour when you get paid for it and do the class, right? The classes you have to pay for yourself are the 2-year degrees and the 4-year degrees. You have to pay your own credits. You can get those in there, and they got a teacher that comes up and you sit in classes and do your generals and all that shit. You can get that in there, but you got to pay your credits.
So is it the same price as a regular college or?
Through a college.
And so you have to have family members pay for it, or are you able to apply for grants?
No, we're not. You are able to apply, but I haven't heard of anybody ever getting any because of the situation. But most of the guys, they just are guys with money. They get money sent into them all the time, so they pay their own credits off.
I'm not, me and Josie are not sending you guys money. I'm so sorry.
I'm going to tell you what, a lot of the guys that get the 2-year, 4-year degrees are guys that are never getting out of prison.
That's absurd. That's absurd. That's absurd.
What was the first thing you were looking forward to when you were getting out? Or were you looking forward to anything?
I didn't want to get out. I was going to try and stay in. I was scared. I didn't know how to pay bills. I didn't know how to live on the street. I had an anger problem. I got checked with a parole officer. I ain't going to make this shit. And there's no way in fucking hell I'm going to make this shit. Because the time between the second time and the third time when I was out, I'm going to tell you something. Don't judge me on this shit. It's pretty bad. Me and my buddy Carl, he's 6'7" guy I grew up with. We were involved with people when we collected shit that were old. So we would make money kicking in doors and stuff. So that's how we would make our money, right? I'm going to get this story out because my buddy Carl's doing really good right now. He got out of prison. This is why I'm bringing it up. And he called me. He's like, dude, I'm scared. He sat in there for 17 years. I'm scared. I don't know what to do.
17 years at one stint?
Yeah, he pulled over. He got pulled over by a cop and stepped out and then put his gun back and started shooting at the cop.
That's scary for both sides.
Yeah, big guy. And I remember he's doing really good. This is why I'm bringing the story up, this kid's being scared and everything. He's like, I'm scared, dude. I don't know how to do this. And people said to get a hold of you because you did some shit, dude, since you've been out. And you've been doing really good. And I remember telling him, I said, listen, you can't be scared to talk to anybody. You can't be scared to talk to anybody. I said, you remember them people who were scared to talk to when we were young, like parole officers and cop? You got to be able to talk to them and say, hey, I need help. If you don't do that, you're not going to get help. And get the fuck away from everybody. To this day, he has a company in Colorado. He has a company in Minneapolis. He makes $600,000 a year.
It's amazing.
This is the guy that was, when we were kicking in doors and going in. I mean, I'm talking about you. I know you've heard stories like this, but you've never heard a story like this. We did some bad shit to the point where we walked in and told the guy we're going to take your daughter for the day until you get the money. And we left with her.
I've heard stories like that. There was that trend. A drug dealer took a little girl from her mom that owed her money. And they sat at the house. He didn't do anything to her. He made her grilled cheese, gave her candy. She watched Bubble Guppies. And mom paid the debt and the kid went home. And I was like, I'm not saying don't, but
it was bad, and I was a bad person. I'll admit it. I did some really bad things. And we took his daughter, and we went to the park, and we played. We sat there, and it was really odd looking. We were two big, weird, motherfucking-looking guys. We had a little girl playing. And her grandpa showed up. Her grandpa showed up and said, I have the money for you. And I remember talking to her grandpa and saying, listen, I'll let you have this little girl if you promise me she never goes back to that guy because he's met, though. He said, that girl ain't going back there, I promise you. He grew up with
Josie is just not okay right now. Oh my God.
I know. See, I knew you had a good heart.
Yes, I was always. See, my choice of drug was meth. I was a monster. I really was. I was that person that would walk into a house with people in it and flick the cigarette at the girl's face and say, put this out for me. I was horrible. But there's certain things that were involved with kids and stuff where I had a heart.
So
I was that person.
That was deep. So when you got out of prison, life dramatically changed. You know what I'm saying? I think that you have done some really fantastic things. I mean, you have children now.
Michelle, yep. I would never straighten up.
And you're a truck driver and you've worked for some really big names.
Took a long time to get away from everything. And the one thing I did is I moved away from everyone because when I first got out, I got out with this other buddy. He's like my best friend. He's 6'5". He lives over in Minnesota too. He was in prison for 7 years for robbery. Years later, he opened a nightclub, and I went over there and helped him run it.
Just doesn't sound good.
Yeah, and he just needed somebody to straighten shit up. He said there was a lot of Mexican mafia over there, and there was Haiti guys. They hated each other. Haiti's and Mexican mafia like each other. So I went over there for a little bit, and we got close again. He was in prison now. He went back to that St. Cloud prison, and he was the barber professor. He taught how to be a barber. He did that, and then he's now, the last term, he ran for mayor of this town. This is a buddy of mine that was in prison with me.
I love that.
That's amazing. Great
story. I love that.
So we would go around. We'd talk. We'd talk to people, schools. I mean, I got offered to go. One guy called me and said, hey, can you come back to the school that you went to and tell your story? And I said no, only because now I go back there, and I don't want people to judge so much, a lot, you know, and also, the coordinator from the jail I always was at, he asked me to come back and talk to the guys. A lot of them were just not turning their lives around, and he wanted me to said no to that, too, just because that was like, I don't want to go back to the spot that started everything. I got away from everything for a reason. But, yeah, we went and talked.
Go ahead.
We just went all over. We talked big brother shit, juvenile detentions. And then one day, I remember I told him we were partners on two barbershops. The partners on, it was let me buy into the semi-pro football team. And I told him, hey, I think I want to go where I was born and have kids. And then I went back to Wisconsin and had kids. And you know what's crazy? He cried when I left. We're best friends. He just was at a big party, a surprise 50th for me, and just showed up.
How many children do you have?
I have three.
So, boys, girls?
One boy, two girls.
Nice. And you retain custody of those children, right?
Well, my son, he's 19 now. With his mom for a while growing up, and then I took him because he was getting into trouble. But I would get him out every other weekend anyway. My daughter lives with me here, and my youngest daughter lives with her mom, like 4 blocks away in the house I gave her.
That's really good, honestly, that you waited until you got it. How old were you when you had your first child?
I think 31, 30, maybe 31. You want to hear something crazy real fast?
I don't know if it's any crazier than anything you've ever said, but sure.
Right.
For when I was like 31 years old, and I was always the type of guy, if somebody looking at somebody, they made me mad, I just want to kick them in the face. I wanted blood everywhere. I was so violent. When I was 31 years old, I remember the day everything left my body. There was no more violence in my body at all.
What do you think? Like, was it, like, what was it? Was it?
No idea what it was. I told my dad, because my dad had moved up here. And, I have no idea. I have no idea. I watch videos. I used to watch videos of guys getting, like, their heads cut off and be like, yeah. And then I start watching videos where, and I'd be like, oh, weird.
Yeah.
Do you, like, you had said your dad was a pastor. Do you have, like, do you believe in God?
Through him.
Yep. Our little piece of liver.
Yeah. Mark. Oh, I am. I've learned a lot of stuff. I mean, he knows. He went to school for this stuff. He used to tell me. Oh, he never sat there and been like, you need to do this. My dad was like me. Just imagine me as a pastor and my kid walking through and be like, hey, idiot, come here. Come here, right. Idiot. Yep. You see this stuff?
Did everyone at this seminar?
I am just like so.
So what is life like right now? Are you in a relationship?
Katie was here this weekend.
Oh, well.
He left and went home today. I stay over there a lot. She lives in Atlanta, or she'll come here.
What is Katie's occupation?
Katie's a parole officer.
What?
I love it.
How did that happen?
I've known Katie since we went to school together. She was my sister's best friend.
Okay.
Because they all went to the state university and then became parole officers and they end up kind of living by each other. Katie's very smart, very pretty, can get anybody she wants.
It's stunning.
Katie would never be okay with being with me if I didn't change my life around. See what I mean?
So she brings out the good in you.
She wouldn't be with anybody like me.
You know what's crazy is, so I know the side of trucking that he's talked about. We have bonded over growing up the same way, living the same lifestyle. And when I see him and Katie together and like the Christmas cards, the fishing trips, the barbecues, it makes my heart so happy because I'm like, nobody gets to see that like family side, you know, he's very private. So like, he doesn't tell nobody shit. So I have him on a form of social media where I get to see the whole entire picture as a whole. And I just, every time I'm like, look at you and that dog in a sweater. Like I just, you know, he wears collared sweaters, button ups, cashmere. I just,
stuff you'd never see me in, like suit with her, stuff
I'm gonna say
no one ever sees.
So are we talking like, is this like a long-term relationship, are you thinking, or?
Came out really good, yeah, right now. We've been off and on for like 5 years, so.
I'm gonna just say this, and I don't care. Truckin' dated some really trailer park bitches. I'm not a fan of it, and I don't care. For context, the people that are watching, this and this human are like, you know, I love them. I talk to Truckin' every single day. I talk to Josie every single day. We are great. We have great friendships. There has never been any relationships, any underlying feelings, anything. It's just soul friendships. And Truckin' has the hugest heart. Like when my brother, we talked about it on another podcast, you know, the stuff that happened with my brother. I mean, I leaned on you, Truckin'. And the I needed somebody to tell me that it was going to be okay. I needed, you know, I was crying every single day, feeling like, you know, and then when Tony died and my mom died. So Truckin' has a huge heart. Like he is a great friend. If you're able to get to a position with him to have that
friendship. Yeah.
Have that friendship. And you too, I tell people all the time, like I was just crying the other night about you guys. Shut the fuck up. I cry sometimes. And I was just like, and we met on TikTok.
Right. TikTok
is what brought like this group together, and it's so fucking mind-blowing to me because people are like, you can't meet friends like that. I'm like, oh, I
But you can.
Yeah.
Like, well, our first episode, we were talking about trucking. And yeah. I was like, everybody thinks he's this big, mean, macho. And I'm not saying you're not. But, like, I will post. Because, like, I have him on another form of social media. And, like, I'm sick. We talk about this often in the podcast. I have lupus. And so I go in for infusions. And he'll, like, are you okay? Like, it's just, he's not this mean dude. Like, I don't know.
Only mean to bullies. On TikTok, there's a lot of them. And I only express myself when it comes to a bully. And that's when you'll see the part of me. And that's what people think that I am like. And I'm really not like that. I couldn't even tell you. The last time I got in a fight, I couldn't even tell you what year it was. I couldn't even tell you.
What a fight. I would get beat up. Could you imagine a full-blown rage 18-year-old swinging on you?
Oh, I don't. And I'll be like Katie doesn't believe in violence, period. So there's times when I'll be like, babe, I'm dead. I just want to slap the shit. But she'd be like, she don't believe in nothing like that. So if there's anyone that I'll settle down with it, and probably I've known her my whole life, so it would probably be her. But now I don't talk about like too much shit on TikTok.
Yeah,
keep off TikTok. I've gotten really good relationships with people on TikTok. Became really good friends with people that probably be friends with forever. But I just get along with everyone.
Yeah,
I know when to shut up and when say something.
No, I can say like back before you and I became friends. I mean, there was a group of people, and you're friends with some of them, that I was, like, scared of. And I'm like, And so, like, when I see you.
Mention their name, the certain one, because I have beef with the same one. Like, there's been calls that I've been on with Truckin', and they're group calls. And he would come on, and it would just, I mean, we would just go ham at each other.
Well.
She's not lying. So now I know when we get group calls who I can have in calls. Because
otherwise, yeah.
It's showdown. And let me tell you something. I am really trying to like adapt and get more into my feminine stage where I don't disrespect and I don't think of anger first and I don't do all these things. But this particular man brings out the dog walk in me. And I'm like, and I tell Truckin, like, because he'll be like, hey, he's in here. And I'm like, oh, I don't, he'll let me know ahead of time, right? Like, he never puts me in a situation that I don't want to be in. And I'm like, no, he won't get to me. Girl, I'll hear his voice.
And you're breathing and you're like, no, I don't know.
He'd be like, you guys just stop. You guys just stop. Just calm down. And I'd be like, no, shut the fuck up. I'm like, you listen to me. And I'm like, and I just lose every sense of rationality in my brain. But that is Truckin's friend. I am Truckin's friend. So I try to, and now I'm like, okay, he's on the phone with him. Just hit me back later. Because girl, that person takes me to a place where I'm like, 20 years ain't shit.
She knows I'm not going to be like mad at her for being mad at him. That's just not the way I am. I'm friends with a lot of people that don't get along with a lot of people. He hates it that I'm friends with so many people. He hates it.
But I will say, a lot of people have told me, you know, Truckin', and I've been very vocal with this, and it's even happened with Josie. A lot of people have tried to dictate my friendship with you guys and try to defer it. And I can say in front of everybody, yeah, I think we had that conversation before. And it was, there's two people, there's three, because there's Woody, and then there's some of the Anons, you know, that know my whole entire life, you know, and never once anything that I've ever told anybody on this panel right now has ever left, no matter who you're in a box on TikTok Live with, or you, or who you guys duet, like Truckin', I told everybody, I've never wavered. You can never convince me otherwise. Same with you, you know, and I've had deep conversations with other people that don't necessarily get along with Truckin' or agree with what he does, or think this perspective of him that, you know, that we clearly know is not him, and have been like, be careful, because I don't have to be careful. Like, I mean, my daughter talks to him. You know, my daughter talks to you.
So I got that warning too from a couple of people. And I'm like, bro, like, this dude is the sweetest guy. Like, what are you talking about? Because I don't even remember us becoming mutuals.
Yeah.
Like, at all. And then I think it was through Bree. And then we just became friends. And he's a sweetheart. So
it's like Notre Dame. Like, just add him, interact with him. He's great.
Yeah.
And TikTok, so like, you watch one video and you're like, yep, that's that person. That's all they
it's
are.
It's a court of public opinion on TikTok. You know, they will shit on people like us that would literally give them, we're givers. We would get we've paid people's bills. their diapers, wipes, you know, food, and never ever posted it, never bragged about it or anything, but they will shun us for a 30-second clip of something that we've done, but then take, you know, child abusers, child neglectors, people that dirty fucking houses, you know, shit like that, and idolize these people. And it
right, right. I've met guys on the internet that I talked to, and I've met them on like TikTok and stuff saying, you want this motherfucker? Come on, get this motherfucker. And then I talk to him, hey, buddy, how you doing? What are you doing today?
I've seen it. You know, and I'm really, I mean, when it comes to, like, I've never asked anybody, like, I've never asked you guys not to be friends with somebody. You guys have never asked me. And it really, Truckin' talks to people, but I know where loyalty lies, you know, and with you.
Yes.
So, but when you guys beef with somebody, like, there is a person, like, you know, that Truckin' kind of fell out with, and I'm cross patiently waiting. And I mean, it has been like, it's always going to be team, you guys, you know, it's never going to be any of that. And any chance I get to dog walk a man, I'm just like, yeah. So if Truckin' beef with the dude, I'm beefing with the dude. You know? So
the one thing, and this comes from prison or whatever, just growing up in that cruel shit, that cruel life, your word is all you ever have in the joint. If you fuck that off, you can die. It's over. Like, your word is a huge thing, and I've always carried that over with me. And I tell somebody, and this is why I think a lot of people will be like, hey, I'm gonna tell you something, but don't tell me. And then I was like, but I'll never tell anybody. I've got so many fucking secrets with people that are, you would right. Die. I don't say shit.
And he doesn't, because I hound him about secrets. I'm like, tell me somebody's tea. And he will not. So I do want to know, like, for somebody who's going to watch this and they're, you know, they grew up the way that we did, and they're going to head off to prison, or they're on a bad road. Like, do you have anything, because your life is so immaculate compared to where you were. Like, it's just phenomenal, the achievements that you've gotten. Do you have anything to tell these young people, you know, that are thinking? There's a lot of people that idolize prison. There's a lot of young people, a lot of gang members, a lot of I will die ride for my family. What can you tell people that will hopefully deter them from this lifestyle?
So I will say this. When I went in, I got clicked up, okay? And the people I roll with were the deadliest group in Minnesota prisons and in Florida. They were the deadliest people. And I worked my way. I lived the most scariest days of my life, wondering every day if I was going to die in prison, only because I moved my way through ranks. I moved in this group of people. At one point in time, I went from treasurer, sergeant of arms, I went to VP, and even went to the president for a week in this group that I was with. And I'm going to tell you what, for people, anyone going into prison, all I'm going to tell you is don't get clicked up. Do your own time. People won't fuck with you if you stand up for yourself. That's all you got to remember. You don't have to be in a group.
Are you able to achieve a good life after prison?
Yes. And another thing, get as much education as you fucking can while you're in there, because it does help later when you get out. And also, it just keeps you away. For instance, like I said, the vocational shit and everything. When you're in these classes in prison, you're in a different area, like doing these classes. You're with people that actually want to straighten their life out. You're not with those fuckers that want to stab you. So you are over here once in a while. See, that's the only bad thing. Like with me, I would get in these vocational things, but the group I rolled with, I would do good things. It's like, okay, murder. It's murder. It's time. You know what I mean? It's like, but education, and stay away from the cliques. Just stand up for yourself. If you come in and I come up to you and say, pussy, you don't give me any shit, what do you got? And if you say, I ain't giving you shit, motherfucker, I'm going to look at you and be like, okay, good. I'm not going to keep coming in there and say, give me your shit. Stand for yourself. And this drives me nuts. People, these fucking guys on TikTok that have been to prison, don't listen to any of the shit they say. Half the shit's a lie. These fuckers are not tough. Half of them will check in the fucking units.
Or ignore me.
Like the one guy. No, you weren't.
That's what I was talking about earlier. I'll give Josie the tea. It is so bad.
I get in that guy's conversations all the time and say, you don't know shit. Like, what pod were you in and what did you roll with? Nothing. No answer, no nothing. It's these guys that get on here. Because if you were with anybody at all and you're on TikTok, if I mention anything of the people that I was with, as fucking good as I am now, and I moved away from everything, they'll come knocking on my door and be like, why were you doing that shit? So fucking guys that act like
tough. Yeah.
It is scary in there. It is. You don't know what's going on. It is. I'll give it to them. They know, yeah, it's scary. It's happening here. You fight, whatever you stab. It is. But don't sit there and lie.
Like, prison's tough, this guy, right? Prison's tough.
This guy, he didn't do shit. No, no, that didn't happen. You didn't call another guy a leader of this gang a bitch because you get stabbed.
Yeah, I've heard that on TikTok. The stories I've heard on Prison Talk, it's like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. I know. I've not been to prison as an adult, but I know that you didn't.
No, there's a couple guys that I have heard that have been that, yeah, you could tell, but they're not rolling with anybody. They're rolling by themselves. Just get a life where they kind of stayed out of the hole, probably made friends and played spades, fucking bones with people and you know, different races and stuff. See, with us, we could play games with other races and shit like that. You can't. Because, for instance, let's say I want to play cards. And I'll tell you this whole, I got something else to say. With the GDs, the motherfucker owes me money, right? And I'm in this group, and he don't want to pay me money. Now, if I don't do anything to him, my group's going to look like pussies because I didn't do anything to that guy. So you stay away from the races. You stay away from the races. Now, here's another reason why I moved up kind of in the rankings with fitness, because when I was in Juvie Hall in Minnesota, before I went in, I met a lot of guys. I was in Juvie Hall with a lot of people. When I went into prison, those same guys were in gangs who are running the show. So when shit happened between gangs and shit, I could easily go walk up to them and say, hey, we got to stop this. Don't let your guy do this, and we won't let him do this. Or put him into a room, we'll put him in a room, that's it. Instead of a whole bunch of people going to war. You know what I mean? Mm-mm. There's a lot of, and guards act like they kind of run the show, but they don't. Because if they, in a minute, shit pops off, that's it. They're going to go hide.
Yeah.
But yeah, a majority of the guys on TikTok that talk about the prison life is bullshit. I'll tell you that. There are a lot of guys that go in and change their life, and it's not horrible for them, and they get out, and they do the right thing. I just went down the wrong path, you know, right away. Yeah. And for the record, I didn't fuck anyone in the ass. I'm gonna put that out there.
Question, you little shit.
Yeah, so I'm just going to say this, because I went into so many lives. People would call me and be like, this guy's talking shit. I go in there and be like, hey, motherfucker, I'm going to fuck you in your ass, bro, when I see
you. So you've never had sex with a male?
No, and that don't happen in prison. Just so everyone knows, all what these doesn't? Guys talk about it, having sex, like raping guys. It don't happen.
No, really? So it has happened. It just doesn't happen as common as people are talking.
Okay, so there is no, I mean, maybe way back before I was in, maybe they did that shit. I don't know.
Right.
Tim, I was in there. No. The only thing I will say this, the only thing I ever did is there's a big ass dude that was in prison one time and he was rolling with us. Always walked around like, nobody can fuck me. Nobody can even fuck with me. I'll fuck everyone up. Five of us grabbed one, threw him in a cell, pulled his pants down, stuck a finger in his butthole and showed him anyone could get fucked, bro. Anyone. That was that.
Sorry. I have to answer this. Okay.
Yeah. So, and then he was humble about shit. Then he wasn't so tough. Yeah. You don't get raped in prison. If you get fucked, it's because you want to.
Well, Josie, do you have any more questions for Truckin'?
No, I think that's it. Thank you for coming on.
You know,
and,
we're grateful.
You got a great story, and I'm really proud of how far you've come. And I'm proud that we're friends. And for the record, when Bree said that, like, none of us had relationships or whatever, I'm just saying, like, if things don't work out with me and my husband, Bree is always, like, first. Like, okay. I'm just saying.
I already know these things.
Truckin', you know, I love you. I support you. I love how great of friends we are. Thank you for being in my life, in the worst times of my life. My whole 34 years of living, you have been present for the worst times I've ever had, and you've been nothing but a supportive friend. And I don't want to share you with other people, but I hope people get to know you for who you are. Don't ever get another friendship tattoo that's not with me, and or else you will not be living. The time traveler will be over. It'll be an end of your day. But I love you, and I'm grateful, and thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Hopefully I wasn't too boring. You guys are going to have some good interviews coming up, I heard. So I can't wait to watch them.
That beautiful lineup, man. That's pretty.
Yeah, and thank you for being so supportive. Like, I do want to say, like, out of all of our friends, you are so supportive of us. And I know Bree as well. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was good. Oh, I'm supposed to say hi to Chucky. I'm supposed to mention Chucky again.
Oh, hi, Chucky.
Hi, Chucky.
All right, guys. Love you guys. You guys have
Love you. I hope you have a good night.